I wanted to really continue with our theme from last week. We had a really great women retreat because we were lower in numbers, and Richard decided to postpone the teaching from the course till next year, and it was a really wise decision. And we just shared really from the back of our meeting last week. It was really good. And it was a really good time, and I was very encouraged because sometimes, you know, when we finish a meeting, we go into what I call clear-up mode. You know, it sort of ends, oof, everybody's putting everything away, you know. And I was concerned sometimes because the Word of God is very precious, and we do want to have opportunity to respond to the Word quietly sometimes where we are, just to receive the impact. But as the week went on, I realized that the impact of this particular message was quite considerable. Different people spoke to me about it. And I realized that this was a really important area. The world, you know, focuses in on peace this time of the year. It's a sort of peace thing, isn't it? Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican Church and generally the congregations around the world were talking about peace because it's a very relevant issue. But I'm not talking about peace as some alternative to war. I'm talking about the quality that we have in our lives that helps us manage and go beyond managing. It helps us overcome. It enables us to take hold of the victory that Christ accomplished on the cross and make it work in our lives. And the best place for that to happen is from the place of peace, being at rest. And bearing in mind my experience of a great deal of life has been about people out of rest and anxious, worried, depressed, despondent, disillusioned, and goodness knows what else. People, you understand, and I'm talking about within the church here as well, by talking about how important Christ's gift to the world, which was in himself, of peace, this gift was. And before I just talk for a short while, and then I'd like to have a time of ministry, and the children will leave just after this, I was reminded of something that happened yesterday, and I hadn't included this in my notes, which I think was interesting, bearing in mind I just thought about it. Yesterday morning, I received a telephone conversation from someone in great distress and difficulty. This is not a church member and it's not a family member. I'll just eliminate all those people from speculation, all right? It's a friend I've known a long time, and this person was in great distress, and this telephone call lasted for 2 hours. Near the end of the call, and I really knew I had to wind this up, I said to God, I don't have any answers to this. I had no massive revelations, no great wisdom. It was just so out of order, so disordered, this person's life. And so I said to God, what do I do? What do I say? He said to me quite clearly, tell her what you told the church. That's exactly that. So when I preached last week, it wasn't for your benefit. It was for the benefit of this phone call I got yesterday. Okay. And when I knew that she had sort of, God had slid out of her life a bit. I knew her heart was for Jesus. I knew she loved God, but the circumstances, the events, everything that had piled on her over a lengthy period of time had robbed her of not just God in her life, but it had robbed her of peace, really. And to be honest, while she was still sane, I have grace of God, I guess. At the end of this conversation, I said to her, I want to say this to you. You have to find peace in this. I said, there's no immediate solution, but God will resolve it for you. I said, as I see you at the moment, you're like in one of these giant mazes. I said, you've got hedges 10 foot either side of you, and you don't know which way to go. I said, you know, whether you're walking into a hedge, you're walking into a path you can't get out of. You go down a path, you hit another hedge. You can't get out of it. You've got to have somebody who sees above the hedge that can work this through. And I said, only God can do that for you. There's no human answer to this. But I said, what I recommend is this. First of all, make sure that you get your life right with God. Get it right. Get it. Put it back together again. I said, you know, God is infinitely kind. He's longing, knocking on your door to pull you back into himself. I said, and you haven't walked massively away from God. You've just made some incredibly poor choices. But God loves you and God wants you back. And I said, and as you draw back into God, I said, you will feel and you will know that God has the answer to this and can resolve this. It needs miraculous intervention. I said, only God can do that for you.
So that's your answer. I said, and ultimately, I said, what will happen is, as you draw God back into your life, as you begin to get right with him and you put your life back on an even keel spiritually, I said to her, then you will start to feel peace. There won't be resolutions to these things. They will happen in time. God will resolve it for you, I said, but you will find peace. I said, and then you will not be driven from one thing to another in the despair that you feel at this time. And you know, the phone went quiet because this person talked for a long time, and I'm not the greatest of listeners, but I really disciplined myself. And she talked for a long time, but then it went quiet. I always know that someone's listening when it goes quiet, because they're not booming back with another thing, you know. And it went really quiet, and she said, I know that's what I have to do. And I said, well, look, I have to end now, but I'll really be praying for you. I said, but keep in touch and let me know. I expect you to come back and tell me how God's helping you in this and how this thing gets worked out, you know. Peace, isn't it? I would never wish any of you to experience what this particular person had been living through, but there's always an answer. God is always there. He brings peace to our lives, and that peace comes not from resolution. Sometimes it comes from waiting, but that's what God does to us. And I really want to encourage you, and a little later on when we have a break and after a break, Helen shared at home group how she had administered peace to her own life over the week. And it was really beautiful to listen to, and I've asked Helen to come and repeat that to all of us here this morning. But what I'd like to do, just for a moment, before we have an opportunity just to, some of the musicians just come and play a little later on, not just at the moment, Ian, thank you very much, but a little later on. And I want us just to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us in our place. And I want you just to try to locate, I'm sure, without too much difficulty, areas or an area that you really need to come to peace over. That what drives you, what brings anxieties, what creates fears? What is it that the enemy, you know, I love the fact that, I don't love the fact that he talked about him, but I love the fact that Richard introduced the meeting talking about principalities and powers and how these massive princes of satanic power that oversee kingdoms of this world, and if you don't believe me, just look at Iraq and Syria and the rest of it. But actually, you know, we have this spiritual battle that we're involved in, and it presses against you all the time. And God is calling, you know, I want you to come into a place of peace. So I'd like you to identify, you know, that something the enemy might be pressing in on you, a fear, being afraid. Fear is a terrible disruptor of peace. You know what it's like if you have to do something in public. You know, they did a survey once on British fears. Okay. You know what number one is? Speaking in public. That's about number 50 in America, speaking in public. But in the UK, it's number one fear, speaking in public. Okay. Spiders, heights, you know, all these things come below speaking in public. Actually, British people do not like speaking in public. You can imagine in a church scenario, people are very reluctant to come out and actually expose themselves in their voices to other people's fear. Okay. Those fears can be very intimidating. As an example, it's not, you know, knocking you for whether you share in church or not. It's just an example of how fear can. And I want you to think about things that have been robbing you. And I want an opportunity just to give yourself to God and say, Lord, I come before you this morning because I want to hand this over to you. I need to give it to you. And if by any chance I've been sort of confronting you a lot recently, like bit of rebellion, just resistance, you know, just banging noisily on God's door in the wrong way. I just repent of that. I'm sorry about that. And you have to make a big deal of it. So I emphasized to this person yesterday, I'm not making a big deal of your repentance. You can sit down with God and just tell him you're sorry. And sometimes we can just do that so quickly, so easily, instantly. Lord, I just want to get it right with you, but I also need peace in this area, and I'm just calling on you to present yourself so that I can receive peace here. And I would love every one of you somewhere in the future to testify to coming to a place of peace. And don't let Satan kick you around like a football with all your fears. There's so many out there today, and the world simply churns them up in front of us. So I want to encourage you to do that in a moment. But now I just want to talk for a few minutes, and I'm going to try and do this quite quickly. You know, Jesus said these words, and these are a couple of verses I didn't get to last week. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," not, which isn't to say this, actually in John. John said this. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Actually, Jesus did say that, but it's written in John. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus was very understanding of human nature and our susceptibility to fears. And he knew that the disciples were about to go through an extremely difficult time through his crucifixion. So he sets them up for what is about to come. But he begins by saying to them, "Peace I leave with you. And this peace I give to you is not as the world gives peace," which is sort of a peace as opposed to war, "but a peace that will be right in your inner being, that no matter what you see and what confronts you and the fears that you have to cope with, there will be in your heart a sense of confidence that actually it's all right. It's good. It's going to work. It's going to come out fine in the end. That's the peace I leave with you, that I'm in charge and I will see this through. And in the end, all the fears and all the trepidation and all the trials will all count for nothing, because in the end, the power of my peace will rule in your heart and it will bring order to your mind, so you're not going to end up as a mental wreck. And it will be order to your spirit, so you'll stay in touch with God. And it will bring order to your flesh, so you're not going to sell yourself out to sin. That is how peace will come to you. That's how peace brings order to all of our bodies, okay? And in Ephesians, Paul says, for he himself is our peace. Christ is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. And then in Philippians, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Wow. So even the peace that God gives us, it's sort of irrational. It doesn't come within the context of human understanding. It doesn't make sense. How can you be in so much trouble? How can it be so difficult? How can everything be happening and yet I'm actually at peace? Well, that's the peace that Jesus speaks of. It passes understanding. It makes no sense. But it's extremely precious to us. You know, God's peace is the perfect place of rest. Now, sometimes you sit in an armchair, or I do sit in an armchair in comfort, you know, musing over my life and so on. And I'm really at rest, you know, I've got through life, I'm still loving Jesus, I'm reasonably prosperous and so on. I've got masses of problems, my kids are doing fine, and I thank God for all this every day, and I love the church I'm part of, and it can be very peaceful, very relaxed. It's a wonderful place to be, but the primary cause of my rest is my love for Jesus, not all the other things. They're good, I like them. But I'm there in love with God, and I think all the years I've loved him and lived with him and through the difficulties and the great joys of being with Jesus, I feel at rest, you know. Good place. I always love, you know, I love the story of Jacob. Jacob has gone through the whole of this horrendous experience of, you know, his brother Esau battling with him and threatening to kill him. And then, you know, Laban tricks him into all sorts of marrying people he didn't really want to marry. And then, you know, his son Joseph is sold into Egypt, and his sons are committing all sorts of horrendous, crimes around the neighborhood. And his wife Rachel dies, the one he really loved. And so it goes on. And Jacob had a pretty tough life, really. And then God puts it all back together again as Joseph goes to Egypt. And Jacob comes down and he sees his son Joseph with tremendous joy. And he said later on, as Jacob was coming to the end of life, he says this, he rested on his stick and worshipped God. He rested on his stick and worshipped. Oh, it is a beautiful. What a way to end up. You know, not bitter, not twisted. He'd understood the purpose of God. He saw God's sovereign will in everything. And he'd come to this beautiful place near the end of his life when he'd looked right back to his trickery, his deceit, the pains and the anguish he discovered, that the loss, the sense of betrayal and goodness of the world. He says, he rested on his stick. He found the place of peace, that's what it means, and he worshipped God. It's a great story. God's peace is the perfect place of rest. Christ is our peace, and the living presence of the Holy Spirit in us is peace. So I've asked the question, does this mean that when we experience turmoil or anxiety or just common garden worry, that we are in contradiction to God's gift and promise? And peace is not the alternative to turmoil. Peace is the management of turmoil. In other words, what peace does is it enables us to cope, and more than cope, actually to overcome. He that overcomes will, at the end of the day, be rewarded by God, and you overcome from a place of peace, not from a place of rest, not from a place of anxiety. It is, in a sense, an alternative to turmoil, because you don't want turmoil, you don't want distress. What you do want is to be at peace. We want to be at peace all the time, but I want to tell you that ultimately it manages. Without peace, we can't manage turmoil. And I mentioned about how David, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, says in it, he sets a table in the midst of my enemies. He sets up a situation where I can be at peace and rest, even though I'm surrounded by danger. It's a very good example of how God puts us into a place where we can be protected and we can be confident and we can be at rest and in peace, even though there are many things set against us. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds. The renewal of our mind is by renewing our minds to a place of peace. Minds are not renewed by constantly worrying or being in anxiety or living out our fears. The best place for us in Christ is in peace. And that's how our minds are transformed, because the transformation of our mind is unlike the world, who is busy chasing its tail all the time and trying to, you know, do this or prove that or be received in this way or keep with this going or whatever it is under the pressure of the world. There is this unique and powerful place that God has given to us, which is the place of peace. And that is very, very therapeutic. I'll mention more about that in a moment. Good place to be. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It is how we allow our circumstances and times, our sin, to detach us from God, who is our peace. We mustn't allow the things of this world and our own desires to separate us from God, because when you do that, you know, you lose peace. And it's really interesting, because bearing in mind, I didn't mention anything about the message that I preached previously. When I was talking to this person on the phone yesterday, they told me how when they were engaged in certain what I would call negative activities that were counter to God's will and heart, they knew it. They had no peace. Oh, there might be a bit of sensuous indulgence, but in terms of any inner feeling of relief, satisfaction, joy, or rest, it was missing. And it went missing from the moment she went into opposition with God. World is not the place for peace. But God is. So before we just minister, I want to just cover these points as quickly as possible, okay? Because I don't want to preach too long on this first part. What about a few words about the value of being at peace? And I've touched on one or two of these things, but I just want to just list quickly four things. Number one, peace is healthy. We live in a world, we read this week, that 50% of our nation is on prescription drugs. And most of those drugs are either antidepressant or painkillers. The world is very dependent on medication to maintain some equilibrium, some balance in their lives, because they're out of sync with God. And that doesn't mean to say that because we're Christians we're taking medication. We do, and I'm not commenting on that as a negative. I'm just saying it's a revelation, really, of how far the world and people's lives are out of rest. They're not healthy, really. And a lot of it is to do with their minds. The assault, constant assault on their minds from every angle. Peace is healthy. It's probably the most therapeutic position the body can take up to be at peace. The whole body enjoys being at peace. The mind, the soul, the spirit, everything. It's like the brain sort of, you know, I feel like the brain sometimes with the sheer anguish of living sends up these sort of white flag, surrender flags, you know, and says, I give in, give me a rest, you know, give the brain a rest, because it's boom, 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 boom all the time. And the poor old brain wishes it could talk and say to the rest of you, hang on a minute, this is far too much and I'm not coping. And what I need is a rest. And Christ comes in and he brings the mind to rest. It brings peace to us. Wow, what a feeling. What therapy. We don't need a psychoanalyst or a psychologist, you know, a psychiatrist to keep us sort of on track. We need a, you know, I don't know if you watch Homeland, but the woman in Homeland is a bit of a nutcase, really. She's on the most powerful of medications just to keep her sane, and they swap her pills. And she thinks she's taking these pills, these antidepressant, antipsychotic pills, and they swap them. And what she depicts is how she goes downhill because the pills aren't working. That's the most amazing bit of acting and extremely disturbing to watch how a person can capitulate without the medication. Anybody watch Homeland here? Okay. Interesting. It's the best place for making good choices and discerning what is right. We never make good choices from a place of, I must have that car. If you don't buy this car today, you'll miss the opportunity. You've got to buy this because you get 3 free. It's Black Friday. I know you don't want this television, but they're going to get 40% off. So it's the what you get off rather than what you have to do to pay for it. You get home with a pile of stuff you never wanted because you're pressured into buying things. If you don't, you'll miss the opportunity. It's running on rails of fear. This is what happens with the world. You don't look good enough. You've got to use this, you've got to use that, you're too short, too fat, too wide, your clothes aren't modern enough, you're not living the right way. Wow, we are assaulted with this stuff. And massively influenced by it, otherwise they wouldn't advertise, would they? Just how it works. Yeah, Amazon's great. I buy all my stuff because Amazon keeps reminding me of what I should have. This is what others have bought when you've bought that one. Have you had that one? Okay, you get that one. Okay, there's a list of things you should. Oh, that's good. I think I'll have that. I didn't know that existed. That's where I found my very, very good razor blade sharpener. Did I know about razor blade shops? Never. But there it was, there in Amazon. I said, oh, I'll have one of those. You know, terrible. Now, I didn't do it out of rest. I went to God and I prayed for 2 days over whether I should buy it or not. You make good choices. And I would arguably say that some of the poorest choices I've ever made have been when I have been striving. I've been trying to make something happen, or I wanted something to happen. That's when I've made the poor choices. When I've been in rest, or when I've taken a bit of time and I've considered carefully, and I've presented it to God, I've defaulted to God over it. I generally make that choice from a place of rest. And sometimes they may be very difficult choices. Sometimes they may actually cause me problems, but I believe this is right because I've done it from a place of rest. You know, reactive decision-making is not good news. But carefully proactive thinking through what you do carefully, but always being at rest when you make the final decision, is good to do that. Okay. Peace challenges the world's spirit and the work of the enemy. The world measures through a medium of anxiety. It actually works to make you anxious. It actually creates doubt or lack of confidence or uncertainty, or you're not quite up to it. Inadequacy, that's the word I'm looking for. It feeds that into you all the time through newspapers, or whether it's through television or broadcasting. It constantly makes you feel that actually you really need to worry all the time, because without this worry, but the problem is without that worry, a lot of the spirit of the world will be affected by that. What happens on Black Friday if everything was done from a place of peace? The very dependency of Black Friday is that people are out there panicking, you know, climbing over each other to get into Selfridges because there might be a, you know, some wonderful bargain out there, you know. It challenges the world's spirit and the world. You know, sometimes when you're a place of peace, you know, you're just at rest. And it really, and do you know, peace can annoy people. Do you know, they want you to be like them, irritated and anxious and, you know, living on the edge all the time. And you're just about to collapse into a heap and melt down. And they sort of create this. And when you're just at peace and you're not, do you know, they really dislike it. It irritates them. I'm honest. It does. They want to try and stir you up to get where they are. And when you're at peace and you're just, you know, smiling and you're okay and you're not complaining about the boss or the work or anything else, you're just doing it, it irritates. And it can not make you, peace is not necessarily the most popular disposition. It's a spirit of the world. The world works through anxiety, not through peace. That's why it's a peace that God gives us. And last one. It's a powerful tool of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to serve God and you want to be spiritual, you need to be at peace. If you want to lose the Holy Spirit and you want to watch the Spirit of Jesus to dissipate out through the excuse me, to the bottoms of your feet, then come into out of rest, because it's not a good place. We'll never really communicate the preciousness of Christ from depression or despondency or disillusionment or worry or anxiety or turmoil. That's why Jesus said, be not anxious about tomorrow. Let the day's own troubles be. There will be problems. But stay in rest, stay in peace, because it's the best place for you to be. And also, I can use you. Churches need to be in peace. Churches will never be effective if they've got inward anxiety and fighting and division. Paul was eager for people to maintain the unity of the Spirit, because there was peace and there was power. But when a church is divided, it's unhappy, it's battling with each other, it's full of comparisons, competitiveness, people fighting for roles and positions and so on, it's not a great place. And it certainly won't communicate Jesus, I will tell you that. Now, I long that we continue and pray, actually, that we as a church remain in peace together. We remain in peace together, because it's a powerful demonstration of Christ in us. You know, it's a very powerful tool of the Spirit. The best communication of Jesus, of Christ, is through the medium of peace, and peace is found in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Can we have just a little bit of music? Okay, I just want you to stand for a sec. I just want to take a moment just to lead you really in an opportunity just to bring yourself to God now. A little bit of honesty would be good as to where you are. Don't shut God out. Don't say, oh God, I wish I'd stayed at home. I didn't want to hear this message. You know, just let what is relevant to you, because, you know, I really believe that what God is sharing into the church at the moment is important. God wants us to hear it. So I just want us to just quietly stand and say, Lord, I just want you at this moment to just bring a revelation if that's necessary. It may be that a financial need you have at this time that you really are worrying about finding your way through these next few weeks. Lord, I need peace. I know, Lord, you will help me, and as I bring this need to you, I know, Lord, that in some way you will undertake for me. But at this moment, I just want to feel your rest. And not just, Lord, over the Christmas period, but as I go into 2015, a belief that you will really accomplish for me. I don't want to always be worried about money. I don't want money continually raising its vicious head in front of my eyes and dictating to me how I should live. I want to find my peace in you in this area. And I bring this to you this morning in the name of Jesus. If that's you, just in a moment as we just quietly take time amongst ourselves, we just want you to pray that prayer. Maybe it's a relationship. I do not know all of your relationships, mothers, fathers, children, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers. But it may be that there's just a clash. Each time you meet, there's not a peaceful presence. There's always an irritation. I don't really ever feel at peace with my brother or my sister or my husband or my wife or my children. I so much want to be at peace with my children. I want to embrace them and love them and enjoy them. I want to get through days where we don't find ourselves arguing and battling away. And if our personalities sort of clash, then I just pray that, Lord Jesus, you would mold and melt and soften and change so that we could be at peace together. I want peace in my relationships. I want peace with my children. And Lord, I want my children to be at peace with me. That reflects your presence in your life. If that's you today, and it'll touch your heart as I speak, let that be a request to God. I tell you, as you pray this prayer and you mean it, God will help you in this. It may be that you are out of peace because there's a real need. You have a need for healing, or a need for a wife, or a need for a husband, or a need in this area that, oh God, what do I do about this? And constantly the enemy lands on you. And you say, I'm just so tired of it all. But Lord, I bring it again to you today. And I lay it before your feet this morning. I lay the waiting and the disappointment. I lay the constant assault upon my heart. I lay the bitterness I feel in some areas. I lay it before you. And Lord, would you let your peace wash over me now? Would you lay in the very depths of my heart the confidence that these things are in your hands and you can do things for us that no one else can do? You can resolve my needs. You can bring me back to health. You can heal the very innermost parts of my mind and my body. Let peace rule now, Lord, that I may be confident and certain and sure of your covering of my life. And for those that are looking for partners or for friends or whatever it might be, Lord Jesus, again, I lay these things before you today, not in anger or bitterness or disappointment, but just because you're Jesus and because you are there and because you say to me, bring my cares, lay my cares upon you. I do this morning, trusting you. And Lord, let your peace wash over me in the knowledge of your love and care for me. For those of you in jobs and work that is stressful, working with people that half the time you'd wish you didn't have to. Resisting criticism of people that are worthy of criticism. And so on, I pray for you. Find peace in your employment. Find peace amongst those that expect you to be irritable and aggressive. Find peace with the least peaceful. Find peace in the work you actually do. As if even the very stresses and trials against you, either from people or by the demands made upon you, you're at peace. A beautiful peace in my job, at your work. Come to a wonderful place of testimony. Lord, when I get up, I just know you're with me today. I know you're going to be with me in my workplace. I know you're going to be with me with the people I have to work with. I know you're going to be with me with my managers and so on. Lord, I know this, and therefore I can just live in peace today. For those of you that have the complexities of family to look after, aging parents, for those of you with children that are in the hands of others that you would not wish to be because there's been a breakdown in some relationship or whatever, and you have to manage all of this. May God give you peace today. May you find peace in the care of aged parents and love them dearly. Love them dearly. May you not be upset by their cantankerousness and by their irritability and, you know, by their blindness or deafness or dumbness, but that you just receive them with love, and when they're in your presence, they feel your peace and you impart your peace to them. The children that should be living with you but are not, find peace in all the interactive relationships that happen here. Take everything to God. Find peace. Reach out for it. And for anything else that you have that I do not know about, that I cannot generalize over, find your peace today. Find peace in the pressures of your flesh. Find peace in the attractions of this world. Find peace in your vulnerabilities. Find peace in your emotions. Find peace in being alive. And that the God of peace, who fills your hearts, may overwhelm you with his love, may fill you with his grace, may be like the hymn writer says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." The voice of peace in its sweetness comes to you. And that God may overwhelm you in these days. And when you leave here this morning, take those moments to come aside and just receive. And when you've received, to receive more. For everyone you're believing for, everyone that you want to know have in Jesus, for husbands, for children that are outside of Christ, be at peace. Know that the prayers you pray, God hears. This morning we heard that the moment as Nehemiah that prayed and said, Daniel prayed and he said, the moment you prayed, I heard your prayers. But it was 21 days before he heard that those prayers have been heard, let alone answered. The moment you pray, God hears your prayer. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what you need. And he knows what he's loving to do for you. Let your prayers lift up to him. Say, Lord, your shoulders are wonderfully broad. I put all of these things on you. I can't deal with them. I can't resolve them. But you can. You can, Jesus. You can deal with these things. And the softness of his presence will roll over you. And he will take his arms and he'll put them around you. And he'll draw you to himself. And no, nothing in this world can match a hug from the Lord Jesus. Because that's what he does. You may not feel his arms as you would feel the arms of a physical person, but they're just as real. And they're just as precious. And they're just as loving. And they're just as healing. And they're just as he wants to reveal to you his commitment to you. Just take a moment as Ian just quietly plays. Just take a moment. You know, sit if you want to sit, sit. Whatever. Just take a moment just to bring these moments in your life personally before God. Just take a moment. Where's your focus? How has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? Take a moment. Now, the thing that I just want to end up this morning, really, is to just remind us that actually peace isn't like picking cherries off a tree. You know, there's peace cherries and peace plums and peace apples, and we just go and pick one, and by doing so, peace and is in our lives. We are very instrumental as people in creating peace environments in being at peace in ourselves. And it does depend on what we do and how we behave, and also in terms of the quality of our relationship with God. And he said, you know, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So Jesus clearly recognised in the Beatitudes, there are only what, five of those or six of those, I can't remember what they are now, but the peacemaking is a quality. To make peace is a powerful human quality, because our inclination, our default mechanism is exactly opposite to that. Actually, we often cause mayhem and difficulty and strife, you know, and our reaction to things is not peaceful. It's aggressive and assertive, and all it does is cause more problems. And in leadership, in church leadership, it's always a constant challenge to find the balance between when I have to assert into a situation, but also when one wants to try and make peace, that challenge is always there. And so what I want to do is, on Wednesday, Helen shared in that meeting about how she'd left the meeting last week, and she had entered into some thinking and some experiences regarding peace. And I just ask Helen, if you come forward, thanks.
Okay, so this has been a challenging week. I really enjoyed John's message last week about peace, and I thought, I'm going to put this into practice this week. It's a message that, you know, you could outwork. And so I left thinking that. And then when I look back on the week and trying to make sense of it all, it just feels like all the way through the week that Satan's come to try and rob me of that peace. And it was a bit like what Richard was saying this morning, that, you know, we're fighting against principalities and powers. And that's what I felt I've been a bit like this week. But my testimony is that I have managed the week, and I've overcome. And the reason is because I found peace in all these different situations. And John just asked me if I'd share. And so I've got several different things that have happened during the week, which I'll just share with you how I've actually managed to find the peace of God in it. So this week I'd sort of set myself the task of doing the Christmas shopping. So I knew it was coming up, and I was mentally prepared for it. And I was thinking, right, go for it, and had my list. And then my mum said, oh, and would you mind getting so-and-so their present, because I can't do it, don't want to do it, you know. And then Pete's dad said, oh, can you get some presents for me too? And I just had this overwhelming sense of, oh my goodness, I've got all these presents to get. But John said last week to be thankful. And I just thought, thank you, God, that I can do that for my parents. Thank you, God, that I've got the time, then I can go and do it. Thank you that Pete had one day off and we were able to do some. Sarah came with me another day and we did it, and we've got most of it done. So I thank God that I was able to do it. But it was a consciousness of me saying, I felt under pressure, but I thought, no, this isn't the peace of God. God, thank you that I've got the ability to do it, and I can do it. And I found rest and peace in it. And during one of the shopping trips, towards the end, you know, you get a bit tired and a little bit stressed about things. And we'd been looking for something. We'd gone into a shop buying something else, and we saw this thing that we were looking for, and it's half price, but the shelf was empty. So, oh, that's a real shame. Anyway, got to the checkout, paid for what we had already got, and I just happened to say to the shop assistant, I noticed all those things have gone and they were half price. Don't worry, she said. I know the delivery's come in this morning. Do you really want one? Yes, I'll go and get it. She went out of her way. There was a queue of people. She went out of her way to go and get this gift. And I said to Sarah, that's so kind of her. She needn't have done that. She could have just said, the shelf's empty, sorry, on your way. Anyway, she came back with this gift, and she was happy and cheerful and only too pleased to help us. And so I thought also of a saying at Christmas, peace and goodwill. And I thought, I'm just going to show some goodwill towards this lady. So I asked to speak to her manager, and she came along, and I just wanted to say how helpful this lady was, and, you know, to commend her to you. And this lady was really pleased that I'd said that. And Sarah was with me, and she said, oh, Mum, that was so kind. So it spoke to Sarah as well. I felt good because I'd helped her. But it was just a simple kindness, really. And I found the peace of God in what could potentially have been, you know, quite stressful. The fact that I hadn't got something at half price, because I do like a bargain. So the other things that have been happening this week, I've had a list of things that I've wanted to achieve. And, you know, I set myself at the beginning of the day what I want to achieve. And sometimes I do rush through things thinking, I get that job done, good, get to the next one. Anyway, I wanted to clean the car. So I go outside to start cleaning my car. And all our neighbours are very friendly, which is lovely. But not when you're in a hurry. Because I always want to stop and chat. So I thought, oh, well, I saw my neighbour coming along and I thought, ooh, shall I keep my head buried in the car or shall I, hi, and have a chat? So I thought, no, I'll say hi and have a chat. Well, 40 minutes later, after she had told me all her troubles and her woes, I thought, God, I needed to listen to that lady because she shared her burdens. And I didn't come away feeling, oh, I've wasted 40 minutes. I thought, God, I've done what you would have done, which was to listen and just to be friendly. And so I thank God for that too. So then my mum and dad were coming over for dinner. And mum and dad have got a difficult time at the moment because dad is in the beginning stages of dementia. And I just wanted for them both to come and our home to be a place of refuge and a place of peace. And I'll tell you what happened during the time, but afterwards my mum phoned up and she said, oh, that was such a restful time, thank you so much. And I thank God for that, because they're in a bit of turmoil and it was a place of refuge, and Louise and I had prayed that that would be the case, so that was beautiful. But also just to say, my dad does have dementia, but his default position is such a beautiful place. He keeps muttering and mumbling, thank you, God, for loving me. Now, isn't that beautiful? And I praise God for that, because if you know anything about dementia, people are often very anxious, very worried, keep repeating a lot of negative things, but my dad can say, thank you, God, for loving me. So I praise God for that. And then also on Wednesday, as John said, it was a great home group. And one of the things that John said was about our children to pray for protection and to enjoy them. We might not always be pleased with the place that they're in at the time, but it's really important to pray for that. And so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I have been praying protection over my children. And again, something happened to both of them, which could easily have robbed us of our peace. But I realised as soon as those things had happened that I'd actually prayed for protection, and both the incidents could have been far, far worse. But they weren't, because I'd committed it to God. And I could see God's hand of protection over their lives. And I thank God for that. And then yesterday, it was our work's Christmas do, and I was giving lifts to several people, sort of various parts, and I suddenly had this overwhelming sense of, oh my goodness, why have they all asked me, and I've got to leave early, and I don't know where I'm going, and it's all going to be stressful. And it was just like a panic moment. And I thought, no, Satan, you're robbing me again. I need to find peace of God in this. And so I thought, thank God that I could give them a lift. Thank God that they've asked me for a lift. Thank you that they feel safe with me. And it just turned the situation completely around, because I thought, actually, I'm going to do this with joy and goodwill to my colleagues. And it made such a difference. And one of the ladies got in the car and I said, I was thinking of parking in such and such. She said, no, we can park much closer than that. I'll show you the way. And she gave me really clear directions, and we managed to drive all through town, through places I'd never even been to, through St. Paul's and St. Werburgh's. But anyway, we got to the right place. And, do you know, it was a lovely conversation in the car, and it wasn't stressful for me at all. And I got them there safely, and we got back safely. And I just thought that was the peace of God too. So how do we find the peace of God? Well, we thank God for the good things. So when we're going through a difficult time or it seems to overwhelm us, just look for the good in what we can thank God for, because God is with us. And I'd read in Micah that God is our peace, and John actually shared a verse from Ephesians, it says God is our peace. And, you know, we have God in us. We have peace in us, and it's just about tapping into it and sometimes drawing ourselves back into that line of being in peace, because Satan does come to steal, kill, and rob us, and he's done his utmost this week to do that for me. And I kept saying to Pete, I've had such a strange week, but maybe it was so I could share these testimonies of how practically it can help. So bring Jesus into everything. Commit everything to God, and he will direct your path. It didn't matter that I had 1,001 things to do. The important thing was to just spend time with my neighbour and give her that time. And that was part of God's will for my day. So to be at peace and be still and know that I am God. And I just put that at the very end because there was a time when I was sitting down having a cup of tea and I thought, oh, yeah, just have a rest. And then all these things kept coming into the mind. What are you doing sitting down having a cup of tea? You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You haven't wrapped this. You haven't done that. And I thought, no, Satan, you're doing it again. You're robbing me. And so I thought, be still and know that I am God came to mind. And I was just able just to refocus my mind. And it made a difference. And it can make a difference to you.